Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll, Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Did you know that gold and silver can still be delivered to your door or placed directly into your IRA or 401k, tax-free and penalty-free? That's right, real gold and silver in your hands or your retirement accounts. Why should you own real gold and silver? Because they both hold their value, especially when markets decline or fail. Oxford Gold Group is the industry leader in precious metals, offering gold and silver at the lowest prices on the market. It's the company I trust to put gold and silver into both my hands and into my IRA. The Oxford Gold Group will beat any competitor's price on gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Call the Oxford Gold Group at 833-600-GOLD and request your free precious metals investment guide. That's 833-600-GOLD and speak to the Oxford Gold Group today. They'll answer all your questions and send you their precious metals investment guide. Call the Oxford Gold Group at 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-GOLD.
This is Buck's First Thoughts, the news you need to get through your day in 45 minutes. Make sure you subscribe on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Buck Sexton listeners. If you do not know me, I am obviously not Buck Sexton. My name is Rob Smith. I am a senior contributor with Turning Point USA, an Iraq War veteran, the author of a book called Always a Soldier, and the host of a podcast called Rob Smith is Problematic. You can get this podcast wherever podcasts are sold. And Buck has relinquished his show to me for a couple of days so that we're just gonna, you know, talk about what's going on in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on. So the first big thing that is going on right now is Caitlyn Jenner, yes, of the Kardashian clan, Caitlyn Jenner, probably the most famous transgender person in the world, has announced that she is throwing her hat in the ring to run for governor of California. Now, anybody who has been paying any attention in the world knows that California is, what is the correct term for it? A hot mess. California has been a hot mess for a very long time now. California has homelessness out the roof. California has tax increases like crazy. California has trash all over the streets. California has used to be a very beautiful place to live from what I hear. It has turned into an absolute crap hole to use that term. So let me tell you a little bit about California, about my California experience. So I have done some work with Candace Owens and the Blexit movement, the black exit from the Democratic Party. And the first Blexit rally that they had in California, they had downtown LA. And so this wasn't my first time to California, but this is my first time staying in downtown LA. I was very excited. I was like, okay, let me go to downtown LA. And, you know, since I was living in downtown Brooklyn at the time and I was thinking about making a move over to Los Angeles, I thought that being in downtown LA would be great. It was not great. It was scary. It was disgusting. It was really something else. And I'm talking about homeless people everywhere, all on the streets, trash everywhere. People getting into fights. You know, you take a wrong turn and you're in Skid Row. It's absolutely crazy. And so Caitlin is running for governor to try to clean this stuff up, because you know that Governor Newsom is the subject of a recall petition. They got more than enough signatures for this recall petition. I believe that they had to get like 1.5. I believe they've got something close to 2 million signatures for this recall. And the interesting thing about this, how the Democrats were playing this, is that they were actually trying to get the names and addresses of anybody who signed this recall petition to be released. Obviously, they backed off on that because it's nothing more than intimidation. So people in California do not like their leadership, right? But the interesting thing to me is that they keep on voting for these Democrats. Governor Newsom has shut down the state. Governor Newsom has, you know, presided over tax increases. Governor Newsom has pretty much run this state into the ground, and people want a change. Enter Caitlyn Jenner. So Caitlyn Jenner, this is literally breaking news. This just happened today. She released this statement, and I'm going to read you a little bit of what Caitlyn said. California has been my home for nearly 50 years. I came here because I knew that anyone, regardless of their background or station in life, could turn their dreams into reality. But for the past decade, we have seen the glimmer of the Golden State reduced by one-party rule that places politics over progress and special interest over people. I've been a compassionate disruptor throughout my life, from representing the United States and winning a gold medal at the Olympics to helping advance the movement for equality. As Californians, we face a now-or-never opportunity to fundamentally fix our state before it is too late. Californians want better and deserve better from their governor. La, 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 blah, blah, blah. Politicians speak, politicians speak, politicians speak. So the question is, now that we know that Caitlyn Jenner is putting her hat in the ring to run, can Caitlyn Jenner win? And I'm telling you, never discount the power of celebrity when it comes to politicians and into running for office. Like, of course, you know, Donald Trump is the obvious choice, but you have to remember, you know, Ronald Reagan was an actor before he became a politician. Arnold Schwarzenegger became governor of California. So, you know, back in the day. So this is a really big thing. And it will be very interesting to me to see how Caitlyn Jenner really goes about this. Because here's the thing, Caitlyn Jenner, in one of my biggest frustrations, and I think that one of the biggest opportunities that Caitlyn Jenner missed was that, so when Caitlyn Jenner came out as transgender, and you know, you had all the fanfare, the Vanity Fair cover, like all of that other stuff, all of the hoopla, but Caitlyn Jenner was always a Republican and had been a Republican for a while, right? And so for me, and whether you guys know this or not, or if it's relevant, I'm gay. You know, I talk about that in my book a lot, and I talk a lot about I'm gay, I'm not LGBTQ, I'm not the far left alphabet soup, I have nothing to do with any of that. But it's very interesting that when Caitlyn Jenner came out as a Republican, and she had actually kind of come out for Trump in 2016, but there was a lot of pressure from the far left and the woke left and the LGBTQ and the alphabet soup to make Caitlyn Jenner sort of disavow Trump. And now, you know, she hasn't really talked about politics or anything for a while. She had a failed reality show. I think that she was trying to kind of bow to kind of like the woke, you know, the woke left. And she was trying to do that. That wasn't really working out. So the interesting thing to me with Caitlyn Jenner running for office is she going to put, for governor of California, is she going to put the emphasis on the policies? Are they going to really talk about the policies that are destroying California from the inside out? The billions of dollars wasted on the homeless situation, the housing shortage, the skid row, all of that other stuff. Is she going to put the focus on those policies, or is she going to try to run to appease the woke left and the far left? And the thing about California is this. The thing about it is that I don't think that you can run against those policies because California is a failed one-party state. These policies, and let me tell you something, the policies that they're pushing in California right now, this stuff gets nutty. Okay, we're talking about comprehensive sex education and LGBTQ education and all of that crap from kindergarten to fifth grade or from K through 12. So all of that stuff is there. They've got the BLM stuff in the curriculum. It's crazy. I have a friend named Yako Boyens. He has a podcast as well. And he does a lot. He does a lot of stuff when it comes to sex trafficking and child sex trafficking and all of this stuff. And so he really does put a spotlight on some of the more radical stuff that is targeting kids throughout the public education system. And this is in states like California and to a lesser extent New York. But California is one of the very worst states when it comes to stuff like this. So my question is Caitlyn Jenner going to be smart and to just leave the woke stuff alone and focus on fixing California to make it livable again? Or is Caitlyn Jenner going to fall prey to the woke left? Is Caitlyn Jenner going to, try to kind of cater to them? And I think that it would be a losing game if Caitlyn Jenner decided to cater to them. I think that the best thing to do is to let these Californians know, make them aware of the fact that their state is dying and somebody needs to fix it. And somebody needs to fix it right now. I think the celebrity would help. And the part of me that I love pop culture. I'm a pop culture guy. Like I'm, into the celebrity status and all that stuff. The interesting thing to me is going to see how the Kardashians and Kylie Jenner and all of that other stuff, how they react to Caitlyn running for governor, because that means they're going to have to support their father, because Caitlyn Jenner is their father. Like they have a mother, Kris Jenner. So, but they're going to have to support their father running for governor as a Republican. And to me, as somebody who is really focused on how Republican and conservative policies can hit the culture, this is very important because this is a cultural moment when Caitlyn Jenner, would probably arguably the most famous transgender person in the entire world, somebody that has all of those Hollywood connections, when they decide that she's running for governor, that's going to get a lot of attention. So I am very curious to see how this ends up. I am very curious to see how Hollywood, how media, how celebrities, and how all of these people react to this, because it's the double-edged sword. And it's really funny because the woke left will tell you, they're so tolerant and so inclusive. And the woke left will tell you that they love absolutely everybody, right? But as a gay man who is conservative Republican, I will tell you that they do not care about that. As soon as you become a Republican, you are public enemy number one. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this crowd reacts to Caitlyn Jenner and how they will try to tear her down. Literally, I follow some of the far left, woke LGBT alphabet soup mob on Twitter. And, some of them have outlets and they're covering this, and the comment sections are just insane. These comment sections are insane. They are insane. So it's going to be very interesting to see how far Caitlyn Jenner gets when it comes to this California run for governor. And it'll be very interesting to see how Caitlyn is treated by this tolerant and inclusive leftist woke mob. I have an inclination that they are not going to welcome her with open arms. So now earlier this week, the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin trial came to an end. Derek Chauvin was found guilty on all counts. And I want to get into something else that happened in the wake of that. So this was a young black girl named Micaiah Bryant that was shot and killed by police officers in Columbus, Ohio. You may have heard about this stuff. I talked a little bit about it yesterday. There has been a thickening of the plot and even more idiotic media reactions. But to give you a recap, this young girl, this is a 16-year-old black girl in Columbus, Ohio, was shot as she was wielding a knife at another young lady. And so the initial reports to this, the initial reports just read, you know, in the wake of the George Floyd verdict, another young black girl shot to death by police officers. And this was, you know, the Washington Post and NPR and you know, the usual suspects reported it like this. And also, you know, as we all know, there's always a changing to the story. When the body cam footage came out, you found and you saw that this girl was literally about to stab another girl. The officer, it happened very quickly. If you watch the video, the officer, it seems like he was left with no choice. But this wasn't enough for the woke mob, because I want to tell you how some of them responded to this initially. There is an activist named Bree Newsom. She was a BLM activist. She was very famous for scaling the flagpole in South Carolina and taking down the Confederate flag. She tweeted, and I quote, Teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. We do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon against one of the teenagers. So this is the BLM take on all of this stuff. Valerie Jarrett, probably one of the most powerful women in the world, said a black teenage girl named Micaiah Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability. Fight for justice. And so just when you think that the left can't get any dumber, that they cannot get any more disconnected or divorced from reality, now we are basically at the point where we are condoning basically teenage knife fights, right? And so, and I'm going to tell you, there's some new footage from the fight. And there is a neighbor's reaction to everything that came out. And I really do want you to listen to this, because it really does shine a lot of light on exactly what was happening. So I'll play cut 13 and 14 to me.
We've had a lot of people guess at what might have been his choices. 9 seconds he had to deal with a volatile situation. What, in your interpretation, were his choices in that moment?
Not much. He only, like you said, he only had seconds to respond. From my point of view, watching this, unfortunately, the whole scenario put him in a bad spot regardless of what the situation was. He could have either not fired and the young lady in pink could have got stabbed in the neck and been brutally or fatally injured, and then responded and shot, and that would have been two young ladies possibly dead. Or he could have responded the way that he did, and unfortunately one lady lost her life in an incident that probably could have been avoided.
And so this is where we are right now. And the thing about it is, and when we talk about this entire situation, and I tweeted something this morning. You can follow me at Rob Smith Online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well. But this is something that I tweeted. I said, why is nobody curious about the take of this other young lady whose life was saved by this cop? Why is nobody reaching out to her? Why is nobody interviewing her? Why does nobody care at all about this other young girl whose life was saved? And I can tell you why nobody cares about her is because her life doesn't matter, because it is not convenient to the narrative that they're trying to push. And the narrative that they're trying to push, like, this is where we are right now with the left when it comes to policing and all that stuff. And by the way, I always have to say a million times that this is a tragedy no matter what. It is a tragedy no matter what. But nobody cares about this other young lady whose life was saved. And I think there was a clip of this other girl as she was walking away. She was like, yeah, you know, she's about to stab me. He got her. And that, to me, is the craziest thing about this whole thing. So you have people on the left that would literally, they're saying that to be involved in a knife fight as a teenager is just a perfectly normal thing. It is perfectly normal for teenagers to just get into knife fights. And it is the police officer's fault for intervening when the police officer was called to that scene because of the entire altercation. And the stupidity of some of these people. Let me tell you something. When every thought that you have to put out is filtered through a political lens, which says that I'm liberal, so I have to think this and say this, or I'm conservative, so I have to think this and say this, then you lose all semblance of common sense. You lose common sense. And so these people that are talking about not having police officers break up knife fights, these people that are making excuses for teenage knife fights, they are not speaking common sense. And they get even more crazier because I really want to break down some of the leftist reaction to this by people who are, seasoned enough and famous enough to know better. And I'll get into that after the break.
Over the weekend, I cooked a whole 3-pound Moink free-range chicken. No hormones, no antibiotics, and the best flavor of any chicken I've ever had. I absolutely loved it. So did my girlfriend. We had a feast on our Moink chicken. And now I'm thawing out some bacon, my friends, because Moink is simply the best. They deliver grass-fed and grass-finished beef, lamb, pork, and chicken, wild-caught Alaskan salmon direct to your door. This is the box that you need to have sent to you because it also helps family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormone, sugar, and all the other junk you find in the prepackaged meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/buck. That's right. All you have to do is go to the website, Moink, M-O-I-N-K, box, box.com/buck. Once this box arrives, I'm telling you, you'll see inside so much delicious carnivore goodness. I mean, the best stuff imaginable. The steaks, the filet mignon, the ribeye, the pork chops. It's amazing. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/buck right now. And listeners to this show get free ground beef for a year. And come on, that's an incredible deal. And the ground beef is absolutely amazing. The best you'll ever taste. But this is only available for a limited time. moinkbox.com. Moinkbox.com/buck. Go to the website now. Moinkbox.com/buck. And have the best meat you'll get anywhere delivered right to your door.
This is the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Follow Buck on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
So like I said, there are a lot of people who should know a lot better that are talking complete gibberish when it comes to this Makai Bryant shooting and when it comes to the idea that, you know, teenage girls should just be allowed to have knife fights, you know, just like this is, I don't know, the Outsiders or West Side Story or something like that. So I want to play for you. This is Juan Williams, our favorite liberal on Fox. And the thing about Juan Williams is that when I told you in the previous segment that there are some people who literally filter every thought that they have in their mind through whether or not, you know, they have a liberal or conservative perspective on anything, he's the resident Fox News liberal. And these are his resident Fox News liberal thoughts on this. Play cut 17.
Well, I guess I would shoot the gun, not necessarily at somebody, but maybe shoot the gun and maybe, you know, run at the person and try to disarm them. I don't know. I mean,
so wait, you would shoot the gun in the air like a warning shot?
Not well, hopefully to distract or to try to stall or something so I could get, or my partner could get the knife away, I see is what I would say. Well, I don't know. I mean, taking someone's life is pretty strong. I don't either. Jesse. I mean, Jesse, policing is tough work. But all I'm saying is, you know, I think that woman with the knife is a danger to society. It's certainly a danger to the other person. And we want her to stop and be disarmed. I just also think that killing a human is pretty radical. I don't think that's a good thing. But what I see overall here, you know, you asked me what I see. I see people now using this Ohio case, which is messy, as you and I just discussed, to somehow really try to change the subject, you know, from what happened in Minnesota with the Chauvin guilty verdict.
Okay, well, Juan Williams, you know, Juan Williams is really something else. But this is the conversation that we're having here. And the interesting thing to me is that I did an interview with a police officer for my podcast, Rob Smith is Problematic. That'll be out in a couple of weeks. And his name is Brandon Tatum, and I've got a clip from him coming up a little bit later. But these people, and I've never been a police officer. What I have been is a soldier in Iraq. What I've been is a soldier overseas. I served in Iraq. I deployed to Kuwait, Iraq. I did the whole thing. When you are in a life and death situation, and particularly when you're a police officer and you see someone literally about to get knifed, the adrenaline starts running through you. You have split second to make that decision. It's not the decision that somebody that is Monday morning quarterbacking in a TV studio that has never had to make a decision like that before has to make. And it is disingenuous for people like Juan Williams to pretend that, oh, you know, just, you know, shoot the gun in the air, or, you know, just, you know, shoot the knife out of their hand or something like that. It's completely ridiculous. And now that these more sides of the stories are coming out, now people are actually starting to talk sense. People, even Don Lemon. On CNN, Don Lemon, who used to be pretty much conservative, but, you know, since he started getting CNN paychecks and he's owned by the left now, he's become a leftist. Even Don Lemon has said that, you know, maybe we have to take a step back and maybe we have to think a little bit more about this situation, because this isn't the case of just like this girl wasn't just like standing there and some police officers just like, oh, there's a little black girl, let me shoot her. This is not what happened. But listen to Don Lemon's reaction to the video. Play 15.
There's a lot of anguish. People are very emotional right now, but we've got to be fair about what happens when police arrive at scenes. It is tragic that it's a 16-year-old girl, just as it is tragic that it's a 13-year-old in Chicago. When police are chasing people, they don't know how old they are. And they don't run and say, hey, how old are you? Oh, I'm 13. You know, my mom let me, you don't know that. Or I'm 16. When they roll up on a scene, they see people tussling around, someone has a knife, and their job is to protect and serve every life on that scene. And if they see someone who is in the process of taking a life, what is that decision? What decision do they have to make? And I know that people say, well, you know, you could do this, you could do that. Tasers don't work the way guns work.
Not at that distance. Not with that amount of time.
Tasers, then they don't always connect.
Now, Don Lemon better watch out, because, you know, when you start making sense, the woke lefties, they come after you. When you start making sense and when you start speaking anything outside of what they think that the right take on any circumstances, they start coming after you. And now, there, Sonny Hostin on The View kind of came after him a little bit. And it'll be it's very interesting to me the way in which she kind of flipped the story a little bit. Play cut 22. I want you to understand exactly what she's doing here.
Also allegedly attacking her. Let's compare apples to apples. Let's compare this young girl, 16 years old or 17 years old, to other 17-year-olds. Let's compare her to Kyle Rittenhouse. Video was taken 15 minutes before Rittenhouse allegedly shot and killed two people. You know what officers did? He was carrying an assault weapon. The video shows the police shared water with him and thanked him for his presence. Also, after the shooting, he was able to leave the scene. Even though caught on video, he walked towards police with his hands up as protesters yelled that he had shot people. Let's also compare him to the Atlanta shooter, Robert Aaron Long. He was taken into custody without incident. And you know what the officer said that arrested him? The captain, that he was having a really bad day. How about comparing him to Dylan Roof? In June of 2015, he killed 9 churchgoers. He was treated so kindly by police that he was taken to a Burger King. So was de-escalation a possibility here in this case? Not with this black girl, not at all.
So this is deeply disingenuous, first of all. And I just want to make you, I want you to really be aware of the racial narrative that they're sort of putting right here. And The thing with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, and this is what's going on here, is that Kyle, number one, it was dumb of that kid to take that gun and then travel state lines. That was self-defense. He walked towards police officers with his hands up. There was no altercation. Like, these police officers were not running into an altercation. And what they do is they compare completely different situations that have really nothing to do with each other, except for the fact that they find some white person to compare it to in order to sort of push the racism, push the race agenda, push it, push it, push it. And the saddest thing about all of this stuff is that we never talk about the institutions that failed this young lady, Makai Bryant. She was a foster kid. She was, you know, basically in and out of homes. You know, her mother didn't even have the custody of her. So there were a lot of institutions that failed this young girl. But that police officer saved another young lady's life. So when we're talking about everything that's going on here, we're talking about, you know, the police officers and demonizing the cops and all of this stuff that is going on right now. There is a demonization of police that is going on right now. It is coming from wealthy black liberal Hollywood celebrities like LeBron James, who, by the way, tweeted out a photo of this police officer that was involved in the Makai Bryant shooting, tweeted out a photo of this police officer saying literally, "You're next," hashtag accountability. Awful. You know, still hasn't been penalized by Twitter. To me, something like that would seem like targeted harassment. But this is a pattern of people on the left demonizing police officers. And what I hate about this the most, this because it always comes from liberal black celebrities, is that it denies the existence of black cops. There are a lot of black cops around America serving these communities, putting their lives on the line. And this demonization is making things more dangerous for them as well. And Ted Cruz agrees. I want you to listen to Ted Cruz talking about this LeBron James tweet. Play cut 9.
Well, you know, unfortunately, this is a pattern where the left consistently goes after, attacks, and demonizes police officers. And they do so often before the facts are known, often before there's any evidence of what happened. But their immediate reaction whenever there's an incident is the police officer's in the wrong. The police officer is the villain. In this instance, "You're next" could certainly be interpreted by some even as a call for violence. And I think it was a grossly irresponsible message for LeBron James to send out. And we've now seen the body cam footage from what occurred, and by any measure, it was a volatile situation. The woman who was killed was wielding a knife, was violent, appeared to be threatening the lives of others. It may well be on an investigation that this police officer saved the life of a potential victim of a knife attack. And we should jump to conclusions. There needs to be an investigation. Anytime there is a shooting that takes someone's life, it should be investigated. The facts should be determined, but the left doesn't care about the facts. They care about demonizing and attacking law enforcement, and I think it's wrong.
He's absolutely right. The left doesn't really care about facts. The left doesn't even really care about most of these people that are involved in these shootings. You just look at how quickly they move on when things don't fit the narrative. And as a matter of fact, if the left cared so much, there was a 7-year-old black girl, I believe her name was Jocelyn Adams, that was killed in Chicago. You don't hear a peep about this. You never hear anything about these lives that were lost unless they were killed by a white police officer. And so Ted Cruz is absolutely right about this. And the question that I have is, what does this mean to police officers and their safety and how they are seen by the communities in which they have to work when somebody as big as LeBron James, who has millions and millions and millions of followers on social media, when if LeBron James says something, it is global news? What does this do to their ability to do their jobs when he tweets this photo of this officer and says, "You're next"? What does it do when the most prominent black leaders in society make it a point to demonize all police officers? And obviously they're demonizing the white ones because they, you know, look, people on the left need for African Americans and for black people in America to feel like perpetual victims so that they can constantly maintain their control over them. And so for these people, for them to even recognize the existence of black police officers and even celebrate that and even celebrate these black police officers that put their lives on the line every single day in majority black communities, to even acknowledge their existence is to go against the narrative that they're pushing. And now listen to noted race hustler, legendary race hustler. I think that he literally wrote the book on race hustling. This is Al Sharpton. And this is Al Sharpton talking about the police. And this is what he has to say about the cops. Play cut five.
Well, the thing we don't know is the circumstances in North Carolina. We don't know everything about Ohio, whether there was another way could have dealt with it. The families reached out to us. We don't know everything. We do know a knife was there. We know, Dante, there was no knife. But the one thread between all of them and many other cases is the lack of trust in the criminal justice system and law enforcement. That's why you need the legislation. Every case, the police may not be wrong, but every case, they're not right. And that is why there's such distrust, because they've unilaterally always gone with the police. The police is right. Don't question the police. When I stood with the Floyd family the other night and heard the verdict and all of us broke out in tears, I thought about how I stood in courtrooms with the mother of Amadou Diallo and the mother of Sean Bell and Eric Garner and others that never even got a guilty verdict. Some in Eric Garner's case never even got to court. Michael Brown's case, Tamir Rice's case, they never even got to court. So in many ways, people are saying, well, let's judge things one by one, which may be right. But then judge them one by one. Then when the police kills a 12-year-old boy in Ohio, then judge that one by one. The police have almost had immunity in terms of some areas of law enforcement, and that needs to stop by federal law.
Now, do you notice that all of these cases are always conflated with one another? And the Tamir Rice case was awful, was horrifying. Obviously, police officers were in the wrong in that. And when that came out, if you're not aware of that, there was a kid that was he's like waving around a toy gun, I believe, and was shot and killed. He's 12, 13 years old, I think. But there is this conflation of all of these different situations that they use to push this narrative and push this agenda. And Al Sharpton, he was dragged all over the internet a couple of days ago because he was talking, you know, he did a video, I'm on my way to Minneapolis fighting for justice. And, you know, he's strutting to a private jet. And he thinks in his mind that that's a good thing to put on Twitter. And this is why you want to talk about a lack of trust. I trust police officers more than I trust any of these race hustlers, because they have been doing this over and over and over again for decades at this point. They do not care that they are hurting black communities. They do not care about the black lives that are lost because of gang violence, or the black lives that are lost during the BLM protests. They do not care about these lives because these lives do not fit their agenda. These lives do not give them more political power. These lives do not give them more notoriety. So I trust them less and less. And I'm going to tell you, when you talk to real people in America, black, white, or otherwise, particularly black Americans, these black liberal commentators that run around to cable news and talk all this gibberish, they don't represent the vast majority of black Americans, because the vast majority of black Americans have common sense. Because this is common sense stuff that we're dealing with here. And I'm going to tell you something. The pattern of police officer hatred that is being normalized here hurts black communities. And I'm going to tell you all about that after the break.
Could the stock market actually surprise a lot of folks and be on the precipice here of some historic gains? All depends on what you're invested in and what you do. But my friends at Carnivore Trading believe they've spotted some key indicators that mean that there are going to be big profits in some sectors that the Wall Street experts are going to miss. Carnivore Trading is an elite squad of strategists who influence major Wall Street investors. And when you subscribe to Carnivore, you'll receive real-time text alerts of explosive trades they're making for their elite clients. You can mirror their trades with whatever broker you use or pass. That's fine. But why would you pass when their trades routinely crush the S&P 500? When you see this for yourself, then you'll know. They guarantee, that's right, guarantee you'll earn five times your monthly subscription or double your money back. That's five times your monthly subscription fee just by mirroring their trades. The market could be on the verge of this massive upswing. Carnivore thinks it is. Get off the sidelines and mirror Carnivore's trades today. Right now, you'll get 2 weeks free. Visit GetOurTrades.com and use promo code BUCK. That's GetOurTrades.com. Make sure you enter that promo code BUCK to get 2 weeks free. See website for guarantee terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earnings.
This is the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Join the conversation and message Buck on Facebook, Instagram, or email teambuck@iheartmedia.com. He may read it on the show.
We have all of this demonization of police officers. That we have people like, you know, Al Sharpton, you know, talking about, you know, the police are, they may not always be wrong, but they're never right. When we have all of this stuff, what does this do to the perception of police officers in these communities? And we'll just talk about the Black communities. The pattern of police officer hatred hurts Black communities. It really does. And I cannot overstate this enough. Because when you look at the communities that are the most over-policed in America, these communities are majority African-American because these are the most crime-ridden communities out there, particularly the communities in the inner cities. And these are just facts. These are just facts. Because facts are facts. Facts don't have an agenda. Facts don't have a narrative. Facts don't have a liberal or conservative bias. They are just facts. And the communities that are hurt the most by these are primarily African-American communities. And I'll tell you, what is going to happen when people start demonizing the police in this way and that they keep on doing it? What is going to happen? Police are going to start fleeing the cities. They are going to start leaving these cities behind. That is exactly what is going to happen. And there's an article from the Daily Caller, basically dealing with record high murder rates, Philadelphia struggling to recruit police officers. A combination of the coronavirus pandemic putting police training on hold, a decreasing amount of people wanting to become police officers in big city, and a spike in retirements have all contributed to the problem. This is coming from John McNesby, who's the president of the Fraternal Order of Police in Philadelphia. So you have police officers who do not want to be cops. They are seeing the hatred that is coming up for police officers, and they are just retiring. They are saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I literally cannot think of a more thankless job in the world right now than to be a police officer. Because everybody hates them. Nobody respects them. People think that they are the enemy. And this is what they are being told by LeBron James. This is what they are being told by these people in the media. This is what they are being told by, you know, people like Juan Williams on Fox News. And what is going to happen is the suburbs are going to start filling these spots. Now, in this article, they talk about Philly and how Philly can't get cops. Who would want to move to Philadelphia right now? Who would want to move to Philadelphia right now to be a police officer? What crazy person would want to do that? Would want to police the streets of Philadelphia right now or any large city? Detroit, Philadelphia, New York, LA, Atlanta. Who would want to go to any of these large cities to police? These guys are moving to the suburbs. They are having no problem finding police officers. And this is what happens. And this is, you know, the director of this Bucks County Police Training Center told the Daily Caller that I do see a number of officers from some of the bigger cities like New York and Philadelphia. Yes. And this person also said that the Philadelphia Police Department is operating at dangerously low levels. So what happens when we have a society that demonizes police? These people do not want to do this job. They leave the cities that need them the most, And the cities get more and more dangerous. There is a shocking rise of violent crime in a lot of the cities in America. And you see it all over the place. If you want to think about New York, for example, you want to see the real New York? Don't see you ever notice how you don't see a whole lot about what it actually looks like on the streets of New York? You know, you see the people on the sets on MSNBC and then, you know, they're coming in from their homes or from the studios, or whatever. But you don't see anything that's really going on in the streets because violent crime is rising in New York. Violent crime is rising in Detroit. Violent crime is rising in Philadelphia. Violent crime is rising in these places because they are struggling to recruit police officers. Police officers do not want to do this job. They do not want to do this job. And here's the thing about the police officers, the demonizing in the black communities. Candace Owens, gotta love her, has had a lot to say about this topic this week. And I want to play you. This is something that that she said about policing right now and the police officers and just this moment that we're in when it comes to policing. Play cut 16.
If that's what you want, if you would like for police officers to simply stop policing, raise your hand. And let me tell you something. That's what you're going to get. Let me tell you something else. That wish is a racist one because we all know which are the neighborhoods that need the most policing. We all know that there are minority neighborhoods where the police are called the most to deal with violent crimes. We all know that this scenario is going to lead to more black death. So if you're a person who goes, well, we just got new police officers, you know exactly what you are doing. I don't blame police officers right now if they want to step down. I don't blame them. Personally, I would almost respect if police officers went on strike. I would respect it. You know what? Let the neighborhoods turn into Gotham City. Let the neighborhoods, let them riot, let them loot, let them burn. If they want to murder one another, and what would be the purpose of a police officer wanting to hold that badge, have that badge anymore, when this is how we treat them?
And I mean, she's absolutely right. She is absolutely right. Look, I can't think of a more thankless job to do right now in the United States other than being a police officer. You are risking your life every single day. You are walking down the street. People hate you. People hate you. I remember last summer, a couple summers ago, and you will probably see Instagram and Twitter videos and stuff like this. People running around shooting cops with Super Soaker water guns. You know, some of them are filled with urine, throwing water balloons at them filled with urine, stuff like that. This is how police officers are treated in these communities. And you know who is not bashing police? And you know who is not asking for less police? The people who actually live in these communities. The people who live in these communities are not asking for more police. It is just the wealthy black and white liberal elite that do not have to live in these neighborhoods, that get carted around from car to set to Martha's Vineyard to wherever. They do not have to live these lives. And I'm telling you something, they do not care about the neighborhoods that they are destroying with this rhetoric. They do not care because to these people, and this is the problem with liberalism, this is just the problem with liberalism in general, because you can say the right things, the quote unquote right things. They will say the things that will make them popular. They will say the things that will make all the other idiot SEALs clap. But these things are not real. And these things have a detrimental impact on the lives of the people in these communities. And it's a detrimental impact on the lives of these people in the communities that they claim to care for. Because you cannot care for the people in these communities. You cannot care for people in inner city communities. You cannot care for people in rural crime ridden communities. You cannot care about people and not tell them the truth. Because the truth is hard. The truth hurts. And the truth sometimes sucks. And you know what? The truth is not going to get you 10,000 retweets. And the truth may not get you, you know, an invite to sit down and moderate a conversation with President Obama. And the truth certainly is not going to get you a primetime show on MSNBC. But the truth is the truth. Facts are facts. And if we continue to demonize the police in this way, if we continue to engender a culture in which people hate police officers, and start to live and create this real weird world in which all police officers are racist white people, as opposed to the black people and the Latino people and the Asian people and all of these people that are also serving to keep the peace. If we continue to fall down into this rabbit hole, this is not going to end well. And you see it happening with the police officers leaving the big cities. You see it happen with the crime rising, D.C., Detroit, Atlanta, L.A., Philly, New York, certain areas of Brooklyn, certainly the Bronx. And so these communities are the communities that are hurt the most. So we have to start having a different conversation about this, and we have to start holding the media accountable and holding these people who spout out this rhetoric more accountable for this stuff, because this is going to end up hurting these communities.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T2T.org.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.